Our scripture reading is coming from the second chapter of Ephesians 3 through 5. Ephesians 2, 3 through 5. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved.
Just one quick note before I start. At the conclusion of services, if all of our veterans would come down front here, Susanna would like to take our mug shots. I don't know if they'll end up in the post office or not, but following services, if you could just come down front there, and she would enjoy doing that. On the afternoon of August the 5th, 2010, 33 men became trapped in a copper and gold mine in northern Chile. They were trapped 2,300 feet underground, and they were 3 miles from the entrance of the cave. There was a mixed batch of men here. There were experienced crew members, and then there were a lot of the technical support personnel who were not experienced in working underground. Many of us remember this moment in time, where they were trapped underground for 69 days. Their first contact with the miners happened 17 days after the accident. And the miners had sent up a note that simply said, "We are well in the shelter, the 33 of us." During the time that they were trapped, supplies were sent down through a hole that had been bored down to them. One of the requests that these men made were for Bibles. The eldest miner there, 63-year-old Mario, became kind of the religious leader of the group and organized a small chapel to be able to worship. Another miner, Jose, age 54, had been a preacher and a miner for 33 years. And he also offered his spiritual guidance. When you're trapped a half a mile underground, the offer of help was accepted by all of these men. None of these men refused the help with the declaration of muscle. None of them sent up a message to the rescuers that we are about to get out of here on our own. They knew they needed someone from up on top to send something down to get them out. Maybe in your lives you've reached this conclusion also. Maybe you have realized that you cannot pull yourself up out of your sins. You know, sadly, many people do not see their own sin, or they don't see their lives as a mess. In fact, many people look at themselves and don't realize that spiritually they are blind. And so they don't seem to need grace. After all, why would we need grace when we are doing so well? Yet we know that we are destined for more than we are right now. We know that deep within us something longs for something that is greater. God calls us, and he calls us by grace. And we use grace in many ways. We name little girls Grace. We talk about the prayer before our meal as saying grace. We speak of graceful dancers. Or we also speak of politicians who have fallen from grace. We use that word in many ways. But God calls what he does for us grace. If you will, let's travel back in time. Let's go back into the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is a book that has a whole lot of different accounts in it. It is, after all, the history of early mankind. It is the opening book of the Bible. It is also known as the Book of Beginnings. One of the accounts we find in the book is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 6. Now, we're familiar, all of us, with the account of the flood and of Noah and of the ark. But I would like to share for just a moment a couple of verses. Verses 5 through 8, Genesis chapter 6. The Bible reads, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and in every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowl of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." The very first time in the Bible, the word grace is used. The word grace carries with it the idea of pleasant or agreeable. In the context of the wicked world in which God was sorry that he had made, one man found grace, or favor, if you will. That God was pleased with the faith of Noah. Here he was about to destroy all of mankind and all that was on the earth. But because of the faith of Noah, God extended grace. Whether we want to realize it or not, grace saved the world that day. The words, "Noah found grace in the eyes of God," are in the midst of the words of wrath and destruction. As this happens every time sin enters into a person, the wrath of God comes because of our sin and because it cuts us off from him. It destroys our relationship with him. Brethren, it is the flood all over again. But what can save us? If you think the world in Noah's day isn't true, look inside yourself. God not only sees the actions, but he also sees the intent of our hearts. And we need to consider our own past. Now let's move forward in time. Let's move into the time of Paul the Apostle in Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to the first three verses of what Paul writes here to the brethren. "And you he has quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in past time you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The Spirit now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Until we come here, until we come to the realization of our past, our sin, our intents in our heart, these causes us to be dead in our trespasses and separated from God. And thereby we cannot experience grace. Grace can only be accepted when the ones who need it know that they need it. With that being said, let's continue in verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he has loved us, even as we were dead in sins, quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Because God did not want to destroy us in our sin, he saw our faith and offered us grace. Brethren, we became Noah. For in verse 8, Paul continued there and he said, "For by grace are you saved through the faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." By grace you are saved through the faith. That's what God saw in Noah. When the world was to be destroyed, that's what God wants to see in us also, so that we do not remain dead in our sins. You know, in a small church graveyard in England stands a granite tombstone. The song that Joel led was written by John Newton, and that's whose name was written on that tombstone. The inscription says, "John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slavers in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, hardened, and appointed to preach the faith that he had long labored to destroy." Here was a man that knew his past. When he was 7 years old, John's mother passed away. When he turned 11, his dad, who was a ship's captain, took him out to sea for the first time. And during his time on the sea, he led an immoral life, both personally and professionally. And he got involved in the African slave trade. But God got a hold of him. It is said that he was on a stormy voyage, an extremely terrible storm, and he believed that he was going to die. He was reading a book. The title of the book was Imitation of Christ, and it was written by a Dutch monk. And a combination of what he had read in the book and the experiences that was being caused by the storm caused him to turn from his life of sin and reach out to the grace extended by God. John Newton soon became an Anglican preacher, and he often recounted his story. It was in the early days of his preaching that he penned the words to Amazing Grace. The words that he penned, those verses that he written, are far more than what we have in our songbook. Here was a man whose life was about to destroy him that reached out to the grace that was offered by God. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll reread verse 8 and go through verse 10. For by grace are you saved through the faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Is there any other way to be saved than the grace extended by God to sinful man? That grace of God was most clearly seen in Jesus Christ. In Luke 23 and verse 34, as Christ hung on that cross, he lifted his eyes up to heaven and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus, in that moment, called for you and me to be given grace. Paul calls us back to God's grace. And he asks us to claim it through faith in Jesus Christ. A faith like Noah's that saves. Peter would share about God's grace through Jesus and use Noah as an example in 1 Peter chapter 3. Starting in verse 20 and going through verse 22, Peter writes, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven, is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. By grace are you saved. By grace you are raised. By grace you are recreated. A grace is offered the sinners who in faith realize their sins and repent of them and confess Jesus before men and have their sins washed away in the waters of baptism. Brethren, that grace is offered to you today. For all who will reach out and grab hold and take of it. And if you have already received the grace, but you have allowed sin to enter back into your life, you need to repent of those things and ask God to forgive you. God does not walk away from us. We walk away from Him. God never leaves us. We leave him. But the beauty of God is that he gave us a way to return. God is faithful to forgive. And through your repentance, you can reestablish your relationship with him. So, brethren, if there is any that has a need this morning, or friends, but his wish to obey the gospel, or to make things right with God. We want to offer you that opportunity now as together we stand and we sing.